the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I thank God who brought me safely here today to be with you. I'm always happy to meet with the youth of the Blessed Diocese of Los Angeles and with my father, His Grace Bishop Serapion, and all the fathers of this diocese. It is really a great pleasure. As His Grace Bishop Serapion said, that we celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the Holy Disciples during this time of the year. On the 50th day of His Holy Resurrection, the Holy Spirit descended upon the Holy Disciples, as our Lord Jesus Christ has promised that He will send the Helper. And He said, I will not leave you alone, but I will send to you another Comforter. So the Holy Spirit came to the disciples and to the church as another Comforter after the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended to heaven. One of the verses that make us think is the one in John chapter 17, chapter 16, verse 7, where our Lord Jesus Christ says to His disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And someone may stop and say, "How could you say this, O Lord? How could it be to our advantage that you go away?" He says, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." Our Lord Jesus Christ is saying it is to our advantage that He comes. First, that He goes away in order to send Him. So there is a mystery here that we need to understand. It is to our advantage. Someone may think, like St. Peter, "No, O Lord, it is to our advantage that you stay with us. Don't leave us alone. We need you." And as he said, when our Lord took them to the mountain of the Transfiguration, "It is good, O Lord, to be here. Let us stay here and make tents, and let's not go back." But our Lord is saying it is to our advantage that He goes away in order to send us the Holy Spirit. Why is it so? It is because, as His Grace Bishop Serapion said, that our spiritual life depends on our interaction with the Holy Spirit, really. How well we can interact with Him, as we shall see. The topic that I want to discuss with you is the Spirit of Counsel and Might. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Counsel and Might, as it is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 2, chapter 11, verse 2. What does the word counsel mean? The word counsel means guidance or direction or advice. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of guidance. Someone who has the Holy Spirit of counsel may be guided with the Holy Spirit and may be able to guide others also through the guidance that the Spirit gives to him. This is why, for example, we have the mystery of confession. Why do we have confession? It is because someone like a priest who is guided by the Holy Spirit and more experienced in the spiritual way may lead others in the spiritual way, until they themselves can interact and and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and may be able to take guidance from the Holy Spirit. But they will still need to go to confession and to go to receive guidance, even if they are guides to the others themselves. Everyone, whether it is His Holiness the Pope until the least one in the kingdom of God, has to receive guidance from someone else. As the Bible teaches us, lean not upon your own understanding. We all need guidance. So who gives us the guidance and the wisdom? It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of counsel. Because He is the Spirit of counsel, He can guide. This proves that He is God. He is a hypostasis. He is not a power like Jehovah's Witnesses believe. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses say that the Holy Spirit is not part of the Trinity. They don't believe in the Trinity. We say the Holy Spirit is a person, one person of the Holy Trinity. And this is one of the verses which proves that He is a hypostasis. He can guide. He gives counsel. He is the Spirit of counsel and power and wisdom. He can guide us in our spiritual life positively and negatively, as we shall discuss later. Positively means to bring forth fruit and to be productive, and in the negative aspect, which means to repent and to leave sin. As it is written in John chapter 16, verse 8, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin that was done in the past in order to repent, of righteousness that we need to do in the present, and of judgment that will be in the future. He will convict the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. As His Holiness Pope Shenouda says, that a spiritual person is one whose human spirit is guided by the Holy Spirit of God, and whose spirit also guides or leads his flesh. This is a spiritual person. So the control is in the hands of the Holy Spirit, who guides his own human spirit, and his spirit guides his flesh, so he becomes a spiritual person. And as this spiritual person is trained in the spiritual life, there will be no conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Such conflict, which is mentioned by St. Paul, that the flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. There will be no such conflict as this person becomes more and more spiritual, and then there will be a reconciliation between the two elements of the human nature. Our spiritual life depends on how well we can listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. As it is mentioned so many times in the book of Revelation, to the messages that were sent to the angels of the churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We all have ears and we can listen, but how well we can obey. The word listen sometimes does not mean the physical listening, but it means to obey. When someone says to someone else, listen to me, it doesn't mean to hear, it means to obey. It means to obey. Isma doesn't mean to hear, it means to obey. So our Lord is saying, how can we hear and obey the word of God in our life? So the Holy Spirit is willing to work and to guide, but how well can we listen? How well can we accept His guidance in our life? We can either listen to Him or do one of three things. We can either resist the Holy Spirit, as it is mentioned in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. So some people may resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may be clear in his or her life, but they resist. Or may grieve the Holy Spirit. And this is also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. St. Paul says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we either number one, resist. Number two, grieve. Number three, to quench the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples as what? Tongues of fire. So He is fire. And it is mentioned in the Old Testament that God is fire. And this fire came upon the disciples to consume them and give them spiritual zeal. This same Spirit we all received. And this is why He says in the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. The Spirit may be like a fire eating inside the heart of a person. Can I give you an example? When the two disciples of Emmaus, on their way, our Lord met them, and then they did not recognize it was Him. But they felt something in their heart. And after our Lord broke the bread and they recognized it was Him and He left them, they said, wasn't there something in our heart as if eating us up? They felt something in their heart. They were rejoicing by the Spirit at this time. So this is quenching the Spirit. Sometimes a lot of people have zeal. Like I know a lot of you
I know from the last visit of His Holiness that one of the questions that was presented to him, that we feel that the Coptic Church is a great treasure, but it is sealed, and we want this treasure to be spread out through the world. So some people have a spiritual and holy zeal that they want to spread out the word to the whole world. This spirit, which is like fire, can either be quenched, or we may work with this power of zeal to bring forth fruit to the kingdom. As also it is mentioned in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, which is the blessing that the priest gives in every the end of every service, the love of God the Father, the grace of His Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. We are in communion with the Holy Spirit. It is like a partnership with Him. He works in us and through us. I would like to speak to you about the spirit of might. The word might means power and strength. We call God the Almighty. God is Almighty. Almighty means all powerful. And we say in the hymn, Agios, O Theos, Agios, Yeskiros. We say it with accent, but this is, when I meet with Greek people, sometimes I ask them to pronounce the words in order to know how well we pronounce the Greek. It's a little bit different than we say it, but it's close enough. It should be Agios, O Theos, Agios, Yeskiros. Yeskiros means powerful, mighty. Holy God, holy, almighty. And because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, therefore He is the Spirit of might. Being created in the image of God and His likeness, He gave us His Spirit, the Spirit of might. This is why we have to be strong and mighty. But in what way? In what way? By strength and might, we definitely do not mean the physical strength, which His Holiness calls the Samsonite strength. It comes from Samson. They make the suitcases, they call it Samsonite. Perhaps it comes from Samson, who was very strong, young and the suitcase is very strong. But this is not what we mean, a physical strength. But we mean something else. St. Paul says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In the Arabic translation, for God has not given us the spirit of failure. He has not given us a spirit of failure. He has given us a spirit of success, spirit of love, of power, of sound mind. Before His ascension, our Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, to His disciples, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The holy disciples could not have started their mission without this power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone resembled our relationship with the Holy Spirit as a piece of cloth that is made out of two threads. One thread is very strong and the other thread is not as strong. But both together, when they are made into one piece of cloth, they make strong cloth. Perhaps the strong cloth here represents the Holy Spirit and the weaker one represents us. But the Holy Spirit, when He works inside us, we become, or we take His strength and His power with which we can work. As St. Paul says that, or as our Lord Jesus Christ said to St. Paul, that my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in our weakness, so He can use our weakness for the glory of His name. So, as I mentioned to you earlier, that the Holy Spirit works in us in both ways. In a positive way, in order that we may bring forth fruits of the Spirit and be fruitful to the kingdom of God, and from the negative aspect, to overcome sin and overcome the world and overcome all the temptations. Let's mention some examples. First example, the power of repentance. He gives us power to repent. If you read the book of Acts, after the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, St. Peter went out and started to preach. And he said a sermon which is mentioned in the book of Acts, chapter 2. How many were converted on that day? 3,000 by one sermon. What does the Bible say? They were cut to their heart. Cut to their heart. What does this mean? The Holy Spirit was working through St. Peter to say the words. Because God said to him that the Holy Spirit will give you the word to say. And at the same time, He is working in the hearts of the people in order to accept the word. And they were cut into their hearts. So we are tools, servants are tools of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sends the word through them and also works in the hearts of the people to accept the word. And 3,000 said, what can we do in order to be saved? St. Peter said to them, you have to repent and to be baptized in order to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added on that day. Power of repentance. And also power of service. This story shows us both the power of repentance and the power of the service, because they repented and changed their way and asked how to be saved and were baptized, and also the power of service that was working through St. Paul and the disciples at this time. By this power, St. Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we feel that we have this power of success, power of the Holy Spirit, we can say with St. Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Regarding repentance, and the power of repentance, one of the fathers has said, do not rejoice over a desire which you have fulfilled or achieved, but rather Rejoice over a sin which you have conquered. A sin which you have conquered. Sometimes we have a desire, lustful desire. If we rejoice when we fulfill our desires, we haven't yet repented, we haven't yet entered into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But when do we know that we have entered into a relationship with the Holy Spirit? It is when we rejoice with the power of that God gave to us to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. When we have this spirit of power which He has given to us, we will be able to step on serpents and scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and with us. St. John said, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. In the first epistle of St. John, chapter 2, verse 14. This is regarding the spirit of power in repentance. So number one, we'll discuss eight points. Number one is repentance. Number two is self-image and self-esteem. With the power of the Holy Spirit, I can realize that I am a new creation in Christ, and I am the Son of God, and I am an heir of the kingdom of God. I am the one whose sins have been forgiven in baptism, and who receives the body and the blood of Christ, who is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abides in us. We will be able to realize this. And we will be able to focus on our points of strength and improve them, and accept our points of weaknesses. I like a saying very much, which I read long time ago, which is sometimes sold in stores, which says, God grant me the strength to change the things which I can change. God grant me the strength to change the things which I can change. The serenity to accept the things which I cannot change. And wisdom to discern between both. Again, God grant me the strength to change the things which I can change. If there are things in my life that I can change, so please God, with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and might, give me the strength to change them. The serenity to accept the things which I cannot change. We waste a lot of time wishing to be something else and hoping that we were something else. We do not gain what we desire to be, and we lose what we have. So God, give me the serenity, the peace, in order to accept the things which I cannot change, and wisdom to discern between both. As it is mentioned in the book of Song of Songs, I am dark but lovely. I will be able to see myself as dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem. So, we
have to have a good image of ourselves. I have to know that I am lovely in the eyes of God. Number three, to have a strong personality. We speak a lot about meekness and humility and humbleness, but we have to understand that a Christian person should also be strong and to be a leader to others in the way of righteousness, not to be led by others in the way of it, but to be a leader in the society, to have a strong personality. As long as we know that we are with the truth, then we have no concern. As St. Athanasius at some time was the only one who had the right faith, and he was given the title Athanasius contra mundum, means Athanasius against the world, and he was strong. He did not change his faith. So we have to be leaders as well, and we have to have strong personalities in order to guide the others and not be guided in the wrong way. What's number one? Repentance. What's number two? Self-image and self-esteem. Number three, strong personality. Number four, the power in witnessing to Christ. Witnessing to Christ. Our Lord said to the disciples that they will stand before kings and rulers, and he said to them, do not meditate beforehand what to say, because I will give you the word to say. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. This is the power of witnessing to Christ. We also need this power in our life, as we meet a lot of people every day, and we need this power from the Holy Spirit in order to be able to witness to Christ by our deeds and by our words. Acts 4, chapter 19, verse 19, I'm sorry. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. And then, in 5, chapter 5, verse 29, he says, but Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They are witnessing to Christ. This same Peter who denied Christ in front of a maid, now he is witnessing to Christ before rulers and kings. And they scourge him and all the apostles, and they tell them, do not mention this name of Christ. He said to him, we have to obey God more than men. How did they gain this power? It is by the Holy Spirit. It is mentioned about St. Stephen in Acts 6, verses 5 and 8. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then in 8, Stephen, a man full of faith and power. So, full of faith and the Holy Spirit, full of faith and power. Because this power comes from the Holy Spirit. What did he do? He witnessed to Christ like no one else. And when they stoned him to death, he looked up and saw Christ sitting at the right hand of God. So this is the spirit of power in witnessing to Christ. Next, power again.
against what is in the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And he gave the disciples the power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all the power of the enemy. So also with this Holy Spirit, we can overcome the world and what is in the world. It will have no power over us, but we will have power over it. I see that I've taken a lot of your time, so I'll just go fast. The sixth point, the power to forgive. His Holiness Pope Shenouda said that the stronger person is not the person who revenges, but it is the person who forgives. Because forgiveness needs or requires strength from inside. It needs self-control, whereas to revenge and to curse and insult means that the person has been defeated from inside. So real strength is the strength from inside, and to be able to forgive and forget. Next point, the seventh point, is the power of love, to be able to love, even the love of the enemy. Forgiveness and love also are very close, in the sense that if we love, we will be able to forgive. The Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink, for so you will heap coals of fire on his head. In Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. Finally, the eighth point, the power of production. This is a positive type of power, to be able to produce, bring forth fruit to the kingdom. I tell you a story. When St. Macarius visited St. Anthony, he sat down to weave, they make baskets. And then after some few hours, St. Anthony came to see him, and he had made a very long they make long, and then they tie it together and make a basket. So he made a very long thing out of this. So St. Anthony looked at him and he said, "A great power is coming out of these hands." And he prophesied that he will be a great father, and he will have spiritual fruits and a lot of children because of the power of production that he had. We also need to have this power of production, which comes also from the Holy Spirit, who gives the strength to work and make bring forth fruits 30, 60, and 100 to the kingdom of God. Someone who has this Holy Spirit of might, you will see that he is very productive and very fruitful in his life, in her life. A lot of activities, a lot of meetings, a lot of visitations. Someone who does not rest, someone who gathers fruit to the kingdom of God. We need the Holy Spirit of strength, of might, and of power to give us his strength and his might, because our Lord said, "Without me you cannot do anything." We need him to work in us and with us in order that we repent and leave our sins and to start to bring forth fruit to the kingdom, to whom is Lord glory forever. Amen.